Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, as we heard a little earlier, the thought that Simon Harris has said that the Netflix series Adolescence should be compulsory viewing in secondary schools across the country. The show, which centres on a 13-year-old boy who is arrested for the murder of a female classmate, features themes of youth and societal challenges, and it sparked discussions about the betrayal of adolescence and the pressures faced by young people today.
I think the programme Adolescence has really provided a glimpse into how toxic influences are filling a void in young men's lives. In fact, I believe adolescents should be compulsory viewing in all our secondary schools right across this country. Social media has such an influence on young lives.
And that was Simon Harris, the Taoiseach, the speaking of the Dáil this afternoon about the four-part drama series Adolescence, which has been watched already by millions of people and has been praised for shining a light on the corrosive impact of social media and misogynistic influencers on some teenage boys. Well, to discuss the issues raised and this idea of it becoming compulsory viewing in schools, we're joined by author and family therapist and child and adolescent advocate Richard Hogan, and also by criminologist Trina O'Connor. And you're both very welcome to the programme. Richard, I might start with yourself. You've watched the series. What impact did it have on you?
I did watch the series. I think it just really illuminated the complexities of what's happening currently. You know, I've been saying it for a long time. What we are witnessing is one of the greatest experiments perpetrated in adolescence ever, and we're a little bit supine with this, and our hands aren't on the wheel. And what the show presents here is, as Simon Harris, the Taoiseach, said there, the void that is in adolescence currently. And I think particularly with our boys there, we've talked about this before, about alienated boys. One of the greatest predictors of really bad behaviour is isolation. And I think our boys have been very isolated. And I think that's what's represented in this show, how a normal kid up in a bedroom can be actually brought into very dangerous spaces like the manosphere. And at that very young age, when you're so, susceptible to influence, to be introduced to people like Andrew Tate and these other influencers who spout nothing but very destructive ideas about girls. And then they're swamped, Sarah, with pornography and hardcore extreme material. And then we're wondering, why is there gender-based violence? And why are there, why are we worried about, our daughters heading out the road and going down the street? We have to take this as a moment. And I think what Simon Harris said is correct. Yeah, we should watch that. But look, really, that's not going to solve anything. What we need is actually really good digital literacy to help our children to understand, when they meet these guys on these spaces, how to critically evaluate them and see them as what they are, grifters.
Yeah, indeed. We had a text from one of our listeners earlier, which I think is right on point, saying digital literacy is the new sex education from, decades ago. We just didn't have sex education decades ago, and we really don't have it now, is the point they were making. Lots of people getting in touch on the show about the show, and a couple of people make the point about how little the parents seemed to know about what their child was getting up to online, Richard. And I know this is a topic we've discussed with you regularly as well. But it wasn't just that they didn't realise, what he was watching, but even when they saw, for example, emojis that were being passed between the kids, they didn't understand there was a double meaning to the emojis that were being used to send these really negative messages between the children.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And I suppose our generation of parents are, we didn't grow up in this stuff. We don't understand it fully. And I suppose there's been I hope everything's okay. One of the most powerful lines in the whole movie was, I thought he was safe up in his bedroom. I think that was one of the most powerful lines, because we know from the Alexander McCartney case, probably the most horrifying aspect of that is when the police called to so many houses, they hadn't a clue that their young daughter and their child had been pulled into this incredible guy's orbit. And that's the frightening part. And I suppose that's what I've been saying for a long time, is that it's, technology is here to stay. It's not an ill as it is, but if it's unsupervised and we have no idea what's going on, it can be a really, really dangerous place. And we have to get our hands around it. And as parents, we have to really look at that. It's not good enough anymore to say, look, I don't get what technology is. I don't understand it. We have to look at it and say, this thing is actually damaging our children. I mean, it's intruding on adolescence, as the program shows us. And we just have to parent it sensibly, sir. That's the key thing.
Yeah, well, just for listeners who may not be familiar with that Alexander McCartney case, he, of course, is from Northern Ireland. He pretended to be a teenage girl to befriend and then abuse and blackmail children around the world, often sharing images with other paedophiles. And Trina O'Connor, I might bring you in here, and just generally your reaction to the show, and what do you think about this idea that it should be compulsory viewing?
Yeah, I think actually what the show does is it opens up a very necessary conversation about online communities. And in this case, it was related to incels and manosphere, like Richard said. And I think for a lot of people, that might be new terminology. And this is where we need to educate ourselves. Anybody who's working with young people and parenting young people needs to look at the jargon and understand the language, because we can't keep people safe if we don't understand the harms that they're exposed to online. And I think when it comes to online communities, in a way, we really need to be looking at treating them in the same way that we would in real life community. So if your 13-year-old is going out to play with their friends, you often know who their friends are. I think any youth worker or parents with our young people need to be asking, well, who is your friend? I need to know who they are. And they need to have access to the online space that the young person is inhabiting, because a lot of young people are inhabiting this manosphere, as they call it. So this is, you know, around the whole red and blue pill, the Matrix kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Many of the people within this manosphere describe themselves as men's rights activists and pickup artists, which is another thing that they use. A lot of it is about the denigration of women and feminist ideas. So it's about that whole education piece that we need to do. But I think when it comes to young people, it's nothing new. I mean, if you go back to the 70s, 80s, you would have seen a lot of jargon going on between maybe rockers and mods, where they would have organised fights down in Brighton, for example. But that was all done in public with tags on walls and that kind of stuff. That's the scary piece about this, is that it's done online and it's an online platform.
And people don't know what's going on, and parents often don't know what's going on. And I know you're saying, Trina, that parents need to sort of understand the language and need to understand what their children are viewing. But I thought one of the powerful parts of this this series was the parents of the young boy at the end of the show sort of saying, you know, we can't be there all the time. We can't watch him all the time. They were trying to figure out what they could have done differently, where they went wrong, you know, and they were two hardworking parents, thought they were doing their best, and this was all happening under their noses. I think a lot of working parents, and indeed parents who are at home as well, will relate to that, that it feels impossible to monitor them all the time, particularly if they have a smartphone in their pocket.
Yeah, and I think anybody who's time poor, like you say, people that are working, it is very difficult. And young people can be very ingenious in how they hide stuff. So it's about looking at some of the controls that you can't put on the internet. Maybe if a young person wants to be on one of these sites, they can't do it in their bedroom alone, because you wouldn't just let them out the door and let them go somewhere without knowing where they're going. Well, they are going to places online. So it's a very tricky, I mean, anybody rearing children today, it's a very tricky space. But that doesn't mean we should try and put controls in place. And I know for many parents, they don't know where to turn with this. And this is why it is important that this conversation is had within schools, within education settings, and within our youth facilities. But I think the crucial piece is for young people that they know that they have a safe adult that they can talk to, because sometimes young people are afraid to tell the good person in their life that they're having a difficulty online, because they're terrified that their online space will be taken away from them, or their access to digital media will be taken away from them. And it's important that young people know that they will be supported in whatever it is they're encountering online, but that doesn't mean that they're going to lose all access to the internet, because for young people that's the biggest fear. So sometimes they keep it to themselves, and that's about creating that safe space for a young person.
Just some of your texts in relation to this. One person says, adolescence, an outstanding production, very interesting portrayal of school life, described by one of the police officers as a holding pen with chaos in many of the classrooms and the teachers helpless. Lots of people getting in touch as well about the phones aspect of this, Richard. One person saying, just take the phone away. It's totally ridiculous on the parents' part to think that you can't. We have. But then another person says, my son is in sixth class and lots of parents are getting phones after confirmation. I really don't want my son to get a smartphone. But with so many parents giving in, it makes it so much harder for my son not to have one. Could the government not help parents in this and ban smartphones before the kids are 16? And it's a real dilemma for parents, isn't it, Richard? What do you do and how do you manage that your children aren't outcasts because they don't have a smartphone?
That's it as well, Sarah. And I'm one such parent, you know, a 14-year-old daughter. And if things were going the way I'd like it to go, she wouldn't have a smartphone in her hand, but she does. She's in second year school. I don't think any child has any business having a smartphone in primary school. I think ultimately here we're not our parent, we're not our children's best friend, you know, and we have to make some difficult decisions as parents sometimes. And sometimes our kids are going to be really annoyed with us. And when I bring in, you know, there's a boundary in my house around the phone, and my daughter has to hand up from 5 to 7 and then hand up at 9. It's not in the bedroom. She's annoyed at me. It's the only fight we have, if I'm being honest, you know, around the phone. So I'm like every other parent. But you have to kind of, you have to have these things in place because your children need respites. They need to check, like Triona's saying there, you need to check the space. The more you're involved in your child's space, the less likely they are going to make, you know, bad decisions when you're not around. And we sometimes are, and here's the thing I'd say, sir, and it's so this is an absolute truth. The minute you give the phone to your child, you're going to say goodbye to them. Okay. You know, it's a really sad thing to see, to watch a child disappear into that phone. They're too powerful.
It's such a conundrum for parents, isn't it? Even that as is. You say, after primary school into secondary school, when they really are so vulnerable in so many ways still. Thank you both so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time to talk through. Lots and lots of people getting in touch on 51551. We can get to some of those texts a little bit later. But Richard Hogan and Triona O'Connor, thank you.